I thought that we were going to move to the book of John this week. That's what I told you all. But over and over, the Lord really impressed on me that he wanted me to add one more piece to this, you know, our practical understanding of how we can walk by faith in the Spirit of God. Because if you do not walk by faith in the Spirit, your experience of God's agape love flowing in you and through you will be extremely sparse. It won't be non-existent, but it'll be very sparse. And if your goal is to have God's agape love flowing through you like a river, okay, and out to other people, then the pathway to that reality is faith. And you must learn to live by faith in all areas of your life. In fact, it needs to become an ever-increasing reality in your daily experience with God. Daily. The daily choices, the daily thoughts of how you interact with God. Last week, we talked about some tangible steps that you can take in order to, you know, battle the doubts and those just ugly monsters that raise their ugly heads and which hinder your ability to really believe God, trust Him, and walk by faith in the Spirit. So tonight, we're going to continue with that concept, okay, and with that focus. And I want to introduce you to another extremely tangible and practical way to enhance your ability to sustain living in that place where you actively believe the truth, where you choose to act upon what you know to be true from the Word of God. Because remember, knowing it is not enough. Believing it in your heart is also not enough. It's only when you choose to act on what you know to be true, that faith is birthed from your life. As we know, one of the biggest barriers to living in faith is our obsession with self. In fact, most of our wrong belief and unbelief is rooted not in the absence of knowledge about God, not in the absence of, you know, stories that have demonstrated just who God is and how he deals with mankind. And it's not rooted in your lack of, you know, depth of biblical, you know, exegesis and being able to handle the scriptures like a master. That's not it at all. Rather, our wrong belief and unbelief is rooted in areas where we believe God has not been for us what we have expected him to be, or where he has not done for us what we have expected him to do. The unmet expectations of the me dominate our desires. And really, they fight. Those desires fight against our ability to simply trust in God. These desires aggressively battle against our resting in God's love and trusting in his sovereign hand over our life. They cause us to forget that God's goal is our oneness with him, and that oneness is accomplished through his conforming us into the image of Christ. They cause us to forget that God will use all things, good and bad, to complete his work in our life. And they cause us to forget that our sharing in and even reflecting the glory of God is his ultimate purpose and is the why behind all that he allows to happen in our life. They cause us to forget that the ultimate experience is when we yield, stop with our demands, and allow Jesus to live his life in and through us, which by definition means more of him and less of me. You see, the desires of the me are like a dark hole that just sucks in all the truths that we know about God and all the realities that we know about his love. And you know what? It leaves us with nothing but this sense of unmet desire and dissatisfaction. And the scary thing is, the more we turn our attention to it, this dark hole seems to get bigger and more aggressive, and it begins to just suck harder. And we end up getting caught in this cycle where all we think about is our life, our pain, our sadness, our depression, and so on. And it's so weird because when we are in this place, everything that's happening to us and around us just seems to confirm why we're in that spot in the first place. God is not doing his job in the way we want. As a result, our perspectives on all of life and our ability to see the truth, they become distorted by this intense, just like sucking power of the dark hole. Personally, I'm very familiar with the dark hole of the me. especially during these past 7 years, as God has taken, you know, I've explained it to many of you, I've taken through, you know, what I can describe without exaggeration as just terror and immense difficulty. And it's sad to admit, but as God allowed me to go through crazy levels of pain and torment, there are times when all I would do is just focus on what is happening to me. And as I would complain and moan and groan and obsess on me, all that was happening is I was taken deeper and deeper into that dark hole. And inevitably, I was overcome with depression, sadness, and at times even hopelessness and despair. It's a horrible place to live. And during those times where I was just fixated on that dark hole, I was virtually useless to anyone else in my life. In the past, many years ago, it's probably about 4 years ago, 2 to 3, 4 years ago, I spent a lot of time crying, and I spent a lot of time talking about how mean and cruel God was being to me. Yet to my dismay, even being able to express that and express my discontent to other people did not make me feel any better. See, it was not as if all I needed was a good cry and then I was going to be okay. No, the more I drank from this infected well, the sicker I became. And I was sucked further and further into the darkness of the me, dark hole. And after a while, I'd be doing things and I could almost like have an out-of-body experience and see me walking this path, heading straight towards that dark hole. And I could see my emotions just being pulled and sucked into it. And you know what? I rarely stopped and turned the other direction. Don't know why, except for maybe in some sick way I was, you know, kind of raising my fist at God, and I thought I was getting back at him by not cooperating with him and showing others how mean he can be and stuff like that. But no matter what I did and no matter what I said, no matter how loud my complaints rose into heaven, God would not relent from his plan for my life. He was not moved by my complaint, and he was not moved by my level of distress in my life. He knew it was necessary in order to cause me to relent and let him have rule and authority over all these different areas of my life. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, "No temptation has overtaken you but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it." You see, my living in the dark hole was not okay with God. That was not how he wanted me to go through and endure my time of testing. He didn't want me wallowing in sadness, depression, and despair. He wanted me to choose the escape route that he had set before me. As he promised, he always sets a route of escape. He told me I did not have to stay in my glass cage of emotion, and I was in effect a prisoner of my own volition. He told me I presented myself as a slave to my old man. But here's the thing, God wanted me to be free and live free. And even in the midst of just this harrowing personal tragedy, he wanted me to live through the new creation that he had birthed in my life. And he was going to show me the way out of that dark hole. He was going to show me the way to practically silence the endless yearning of the me and the horrible ache of disappointment and disillusionment that settled in my heart. Because that disappointment birthed despair. And that despair births hopelessness. And none of that is of God. Here's the thing. The pathway that God showed me was the road of sacrifice. This sacrifice, however, was not found in me giving up some food for some period of time. It wasn't captured in my attempt to refrain from certain behavior, and it did not require me to inflict any kind of physical pain on my body. Rather, it was this. It was merely the willingness to consider all that God had been to me, all that he taught me, and how much he really did love me, and then thank him for it. That is it. He wanted my mouth to literally say thank you, and my voice to express gratitude. That is all he required of me. That was his route of escape. Again, proving over and over and over that his load is light and his burden is easy. All he wanted was a thank you. Hebrews 13:5. Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God that is the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. All God wanted from me was an honest expression of thanks. But keep in mind, this was not for him, okay? God does not need me to appreciate him. That's a silly notion. Look at Job 35, 5 through 8. Look up into the sky and see the clouds high above you. If you sin, how does that affect God? Even if you sin again and again, what effect will it have on him? If you are good, is this some great gift to him? What could you possibly give him? No, your sins affect only people like yourself, and your good deeds also affect only humans. As with all things that God asks of us, it is so that we might experience more of him. God wanted me to learn to lift up a sacrifice of praise to him because he knew that for me to utter an honest expression of thanks, that I would have to push past my feelings. I'd have to push past my anger, push past my hostility, push past my disappointment and my disillusionment. I'd have to set aside my expectations of him and what I thought he was going to do in my life when I wanted him to do it. And I had to objectively consider all that he had done and was doing in me and through me. See, he knew that if I were to pull my eyes off of the me just for a moment in time and took an honest look at his hand in my life, that I would find so many things to be thankful for that it would be overwhelming. He knew that if I offered up my thanks as a sacrifice of praise, that it would in effect jettison me out of that dark hole and put me back on the road to life and peace. So after all the horrible things that has happened in my life, what did I have to honestly be thankful for? Well, he gave me some scriptures that charted out my journey that he was going to take me through. I knew before it started what a rough road it was going to be. He told me, don't be surprised. It's going to be filled with, you know, just terror, and all hell is going to break through on your life. But at least I knew it. At least he gave me the warning. He didn't just surprise me. But then he also gave me promises and said that this trial would come to an end. So thank God that this is not my appointment in life, you know. It feels like it's been going forever. But he said that he is going to calm the storm, and on that day, I would be glad. He further said that when it was finished, he would lead me to that place that satisfies my heart, my desired haven. And he said I would enjoy marvelous fruitfulness and just incredible growth through God's hand in my life. He also picked a couple of magnificent friends that walked through me with me through every day of this painful journey, from day one. Faithful friends that never left. And although he allowed so many things in my life to be destroyed, at the same time, he protected me in so many ways that I did not deserve. I mean, he continually had mercy and compassion on me and did not deal with me on the basis of my sin. He dealt with me on the basis of his mercy. He opened up his words to me in ways that allowed me to see things that have always been there in the Bible, but for some reason have been mostly buried in the minds and the hearts of those within modern Christianity. He allowed me to bring a cohesiveness to all these truths and the ability to articulate them in this comprehensive way across the Bible. And he gave me a boldness and a confidence to teach these truths, notwithstanding the fact that most people that I taught them to did not want to hear it. They did not want to deal with the reality of what their lives, you know, what it would mean to them, and they actually had to consider living in such a way that they only do what God wants them to do, only say what he wants them to say, and only go where he wants them to go. And then throughout this journey, I was able to finally see that a big part of it is he was working a release for me, a release from relational bondage that had just destroyed my life. And you know what? He also sent various people through the midst of this journey and the midst of the mess that was created to help me and to help my family in ways that were perfectly timed and perfectly needed.
And although the storm was horrific, it has become clear to me that his hands have been over my life the entire time. And if I were to try to list the details that underlie these kind of broad, general reasons I should be thankful, I mean, I could write a huge book of just circumstance after circumstance of where God did something, protected me, covered me, and just so many reasons to be thankful. Yet getting to that place where I could focus on the goodness of God and offer up this kind of sacrifice was more difficult than I can put into words. I absolutely resisted. I felt I had the right to be angry at God. I felt he owed me more than what he was giving me. After all, I had served him so well. But God showed me eventually that my wrong belief was only hurting myself. And it was hurting those people who were dependent upon me, both relationally and spiritually. And that was not something I was okay with, because I deeply cared for those handful of people that God had left in my life. Pretty much everybody else had either abandoned or rejected me or just stopped being my friend. But when God said that this would be a sacrifice of praise, he was not kidding. I had to sacrifice my right to be angry. I had to sacrifice my right to wallow in self-pity. I had to sacrifice my right to be obsessed with myself. I had to sacrifice my expectations of God doing what I wanted when I wanted it. And you know what? I also had to sacrifice my emotions and even my logical mind on this altar of thanksgiving. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 19 says, "Always be joyful. Keep on praying. No matter what happens, always be thankful. For this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Do not stifle the Holy Spirit." God used this scripture in Thessalonians to help me understand that being thankful was not just a good idea. It was not just something to help me through the pain. It was not just for those who were dependent upon me. And it was not just some psychological method for coping. But it was the very will of God for my life. So the implication here is that when we are not thankful, okay, regardless of what is happening in our life, we are absolutely quenching the work of the Holy Spirit in our life. In other words, we're not walking by faith. And we've given opportunity to the old man to once again dominate our being and smash the Spirit to a small place in our life, such that his voice is hard to hear and his leading is very hard to discern. So when I considered that it was God's will for my life to be thankful, I had to make the sacrifice. After all, I mean, I've been teaching you guys, and I've said over and over and over that all I want to know is God's will for my life. And there it was, sitting smack dead center, like hitting me in the jaw. I didn't even really have to look for it. I didn't have to discern it. It was right there. I could not ignore it. And honestly, I've wanted to be free from that dark hole of the me. I just needed to know the way out, and I needed to understand the motivation behind my action. By this time, you know, I looked like this so many days of my life, and I had become sick of wallowing in my stuff. I was tired of demanding from God, and I was tired of my mess being at the center of so many interactions with people in my life. I was sickened also by this fact. Many people were following me, and I had led some other people straight to that pit of darkness, of the me. And they stayed there, and they followed the same path of sadness and depression and despair. I hated the fact that not only me, but then others spent so much time outside of fellowship and intimacy with God. And I wanted the oneness that he was offering me. Thankfully, he was merciful and compassionate and infinitely patient with me. At first, saying thank you to God for what has happened in my life was a huge battle. My emotions and my mind were waging war against me taking God serious in this. It was like, whatever, that's one little scripture. It's at the end of a book. It's just like, poof, be thankful, whatever. But my emotions and my mind were so beholden to the me. But when I considered God, my heart started to soften. I started to see layers and layers and layers of things I could be thankful for. And I was amazed not only at what he had done in me through this journey, but when I looked around at the people who were following, the people who were part of it, the changes that happened in their life, I actually started to rejoice. I came to realize how he uniquely chose me for the journey, how he helped me endure wave and wave of terror, opposition, and rejection. How he taught me so much about him, even though I was flailing around like a madman without hope. How he preserved the life of my children. And even how I am still standing. And despite all my complaint, I love him more than I've ever loved him in my entire life. And I never want to go back to that place before, you know, before this journey started. That's not where I want to be. That's not the kind of relationship I want with God. Sure, I had to suffer. I had to pave the way for others to walk. But you know what? I've seen people freed from the bondage of the religion of Christianity. I've seen people grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And I've seen people to know for themselves what it's like to hear the voice of God in their life and to understand his leading in their life. And I've seen them choose to believe the truth of the Word of God and live by faith versus having to experience everything and stumble down the wrong road. Now, here's the thing, and most of you should know this, don't get me wrong. I'm not here talking about thankfulness because my circumstances have turned from bad to good, and now I'm giving you a post-trauma account of things while I sit comfortably in the shade and sip on my lemonade. No, my trials just continue, and they mutate, you know? It's like they just keep mutating and taking on a different face of darkness and terror. And you know what? I actually told God once that I knew he wanted me to rest in him, and I knew he wanted me to give thanks. So I said, sure, I would do it if you just stop the storm. That's all, just stop the storm. It's something small, you started it, you can do it. And I said, if he relented, then I would give him thanks and unending praise, and everybody would know it. Well, he was not open to my barter. He was like, no deal, that's not how we're doing it. See, he wanted me to learn to offer up a sacrifice in the midst of my disappointment. Because that's the only way it would be a sacrifice. And although my circumstances have not really changed, in offering up a sacrifice of thanks, I've actually been able to experience joy. A joy that is separate from my painful reality, and a joy that has allowed me to be used by God and to serve others in his agape love. And this has been actually a shocking reality to me and something that I never thought I would experience. Let's go back to this passage in 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 19. It's right on this slide. Yay. Always be joyful. Keep on praying. No matter what happens, always be thankful, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Do not stifle the Holy Spirit. Notice that this passage starts with the command, always be joyful. It's imperative. And not only is it a command, the verb tense indicates that this is to be our ongoing and continual state of being as Christians. See, we are to be people who live in and experience joy. And I'm not talking about some fake stuff, okay? Some fake Christian trip where you walk around saying, praise the Lord all the time and making everybody feel extremely uncomfortable. Okay? We've all met people like that. We've all been around those kinds of things where people are trying to be joyful. What I'm talking about is entirely different. And I'm talking about a joy that settles in your heart, that is not an emotion. It's not making you be and jump up and down and be happy. No. It's a joy that enables you to function and live despite what is happening to you. It's a joy that enables you to still care about others and actually give to them when your own life is in destitution. It's a joy that enables you to worship the Lord and take pleasure in him, even when he is not doing for you what you hope or dream that he will do. It's a joy that is experienced when you continually offer up to God a sacrifice of praise that is the fruit of your lips that give thanks to his name. Let's go back to Hebrews 13, 15. Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. Notice that in order to offer up a sacrifice of praise, such that you genuinely and honestly thank the Lord for who he is and what he has been to you, it must be done through him. In other words, this form of sacrifice originates in the new creation from the divine, and it's therefore a perfect offering acceptable to God. It's not something you can do on your own. It's not something that you can will, that you're going to be thankful and you're going to have joy. No, you can't do it. It's not a religious practice, and it definitely is not a spiritual discipline. It is birthed from the new creation. And it's an example of Jesus living his life through you and him giving you the very power to be in relationship with him. Once again, proving that his load is light and his burden is easy. For all that he asks of you, he is willing to do through you. This alone, this understanding that God is the one, through him, we can offer up these things. This should make you want to just applaud and like some kind of just break forth in this raucous noise of thanksgiving to God for who he is and what he's been and who he wants to be to you and how marvelous he really is. He is the one who carries the load. And he is the one who helps you in every step of your walk. And when I consider how limited even my own perspective is of what is happening to me and the reasons and the why God allows things to happen in my life, I just step back and say, wow, God's hand is over it anyways. He is marvelous and he is good and I love him so much. For your sake, no matter what is happening to you, I encourage you to offer up this kind of sacrifice. It is extremely pleasing to God. And because it is a sacrifice, okay, I know it will not be easy. But it is entirely worth it. Because when you taste of his joy, that settledness, that stability, I believe that then you'll be able to fully appreciate how dark and even disdain the black hole of the me. The last thing you'll want to do is stay wallowing in it. It's miserable and it's hideous. You'll want the light of his joy to continually be at the center of your being. Now I want to make sure this next piece is really clear, okay? This is not something I've mastered at all. It's something I battle all the time, every day. It's something I have to keep coming back to over and over again. Just like walking in the Spirit of God is a moment-by-moment decision, and you can fall out of it as quickly as you can just return to it. This is the same thing. This is the state of being thankful. And that's why Paul commanded us to continually offer up this kind of sacrifice from beginning to end. It is to be what we do, continually offering up that sacrifice. So it's a choice that we have to make every day, multiple times a day. And that's why he also tells us to keep praying, pray without ceasing. This is the way that you can sustain an experience of joy and silence the lies of the me. When you offer up this kind of sacrifice, God will begin to use you to help lead others to that place of similarly experiencing that joy. And those moments when you get to be involved in somebody's life and you help them find that centeredness and that rest, knowing that God's hand is on their life, you know what? Those moments are extremely precious and you'll remember them. Because it'll be those times where God's agape love is just flowing down on top of you. And then it's rolling through you to others. And their lives get changed. So offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, which is the fruit of your lips that give thanks to his name. This is God's will for your life. In closing, I want to read Psalm 145.
My sister sent me an email this past week with it referenced in it, and I just started meditating on it every day, and it was amazing. It covers the whole concept of what we're talking about tonight, and it brought me incredible comfort and joy. So I just want to read it, and I want you guys to just listen, and let it just wash over you. Let it just bathe, you know, your emotions and your mind and your heart in these truths. Psalm 145. I will exalt you, my God and King, and praise your name forever and ever. I will praise you every day. Yes, I will praise you forever. Great is the Lord. He is most worthy of praise. No one can measure his greatness. Let each generation tell its children of your mighty acts. Let them proclaim your power. I will meditate on your majestic, glorious splendor and how your wonderful miracles. Your awe-inspiring deeds will be on every tongue. I will proclaim your greatness. Everyone will share the story of your wonderful goodness. They will sing with joy about your righteousness. The Lord is merciful and compassionate, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love. The Lord is good to everyone. He shows compassion on all his creation. All of your works will thank you, Lord, and your faithful followers will praise you. They will speak of the glory of your kingdom. They'll give examples of your power. They'll tell about your mighty deeds and about the majesty and the glory of your reign. For your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. You rule throughout all generations. The Lord always keeps his promises. He is gracious in all he does. The Lord helps the fallen and lifts those bent beneath their loads. The eyes of all look to you in hope. You give them their food as they need it. When you open your hand, you satisfy the hunger and thirst of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in everything he does. He is filled with kindness. The Lord is close to all who call on him. Yes, to all who call on him in truth. He grants the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cries for help and rescues them. The Lord protects all those who love him, but he destroys the wicked. I will praise the Lord, and may everyone on earth bless his holy name forever and ever. Let's pray. Father, I just... I want to, even tonight, even now, offer up a sacrifice of thanksgiving. I wish it was easier. I wish it came naturally. I wish I didn't have such a struggle and such a battle. But I know that you are good, and I know that you love me. And I pray, God, that your Spirit would just move through everybody that you chose to bring here tonight. I know everyone has a different, place where they're being sucked into that dark hole of the me. A different place where they've got sadness or despair or disillusionment or just, even just anger towards you and our expectations of you that are just rooted in the me. And God, I pray that you help us just remember and bring to mind by your Spirit how amazing you are and all the things that you've done for us. The fact that we're here, that you've chosen us to be set free. You've chosen us to know your truth. You've chosen us to not be just locked in religion, but to walk by faith and live by faith. You have given us your Son that you crushed for our sake. And God, you are marvelous in all that you do. And I pray that each of us would be able to find that place where we could say thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for pouring your mercy on us. Thank you for not dealing with us on the basis of our sin. Thank you for your compassion. Thank you for the friendships that you've built here. Thank you for the way you've connected us by your Spirit. Thank you that people here want to grow in you and want to just give themselves to you entirely. Thank you that people stood, for you in the midst of their families, in the midst of opposition. Thank you for your tender kind-hearted mercies. And we love you in Jesus' name. Amen.